and his brother died. In the same year, in February, mother died. In June, his brother died. And then the other day, he was saying something to me, and there's the word I gave him. Okay, they're right from here. I said to him, I gave him a scripture. It was found in the book of, let me see. If I can find it, that is. Where the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But it talks about that spirit that is bitter will dry up your bones. Who knows where that's found? Anyone? Yeah, Proverbs something. Something is not going to help us. We need. What's it called? Oh, go read it for us.
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance.
And? Proverbs 7:22. Read that for a pastor. If you got the NLT, that'd be great.
A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit drives up.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought pastor, the obedience. Okay, read again.
A cheerful heart is good medicine, but
a cheerful heart is what? There's a man who was dying of cancer. The doctor said, "You're gonna die." He went home. He put the Charlie Chaplin videos on. He watched it and he laughed his way out of cancer. It's a true story. It was back in South Africa. We have what they call Reader's Digest. It was in the Reader's Digest. A man was dying, and all he had to do was he said, "Listen, this is what the doctor said." And he went home, and he laughed himself right out of cancer. Amen?
Amen.
Merry heart do it good like what?
Medicine.
A medicine. The Bible says God's word is medicine. The word medicine is in the Hebrew means, it means that God's word, will like you go to a doctor's office, right? Use the word health. God's word is health to all your flesh. That's the word it uses. What's the word?
Health.
In the Hebrew, the word health means medication, medicine. What is medicine? Health means medication. What does medication do? But it's sitting in a bottle and going to heal you. Go to a doctor, he gives you a prescription, you go to the pharmacy, you pick it up and take it 3 times a day. What do? Religiously, you take it because you want to get better, right? How much more we should obey the word of the Lord and take our medicine? It's not, well, you know, the little boy says to his father, "Well, do I have to take my medicine, Dad?" No, you don't have to, you want to. Amen? Say you want to, praise God. So God says that his word is health to all your flesh. God's word is out to all your flesh. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You got to get the word in you and start saying that by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
Isaiah 53 verse number 5. It says that Isaiah looked 700 years before the cross. And he was speaking the word of God. Amen. And he said to Isaiah 53:5, what does it say? By his stripes you are healed. Peter looks back to the cross. And 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by his stripes you were healed. What tense is were healed? Past tense. So if you are healed and you were healed, then you are healed. Amen? Matthew 8:17 says, what is Matthew 8:17? It says, himself bore your sicknesses and carried your infirmities. And by his stripes you were made whole. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So all throughout this, you've got to get the word of God inside of you. Great man of God said, listen, it's too late to get the word inside of you when your belly is on fire. When something is wrong with you, it's too late for you then to get the word. Get the word in now. Hallelujah. And so when that pain shows up, you say, no. This is what the word of God says. Can you say amen? You have to contradict and God's going to do the opposite. Say it with me, God's going to do the opposite. God is going to do the opposite of what the devil is saying. It's called God can reverse the adverse. Can you say amen? Okay, I know we got that tonight, but that's not part of what I was going to share. But you know how the Lord works. It says, simply for self-surrender that accepts the blessing. If you want to accept the new blessings of God, you got to surrender self.
Amen. That's good.
He says, just accept the blessing. I want the blessing. Yeah, but there's a price to pay. Amen. We paid the price. The highest call is a call to pray. There's no other calling that's higher than that. If you don't pray, you won't stay. If you don't fast, you won't last. The highest call is a call to pray. We cannot overemphasize prayer in this house, or in any house for that matter. Can you say amen? Because he said, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. And so here it says, you must accept the blessing. How many of you say tonight, put your hands up like this and say, I accept the blessing. What's the price? Self-surrender. Amen? And then it says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Come on now, Fred, why you do that? And your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good. Say, eat what is good. What's the price? You're going to eat what is good. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, I am on a seafood diet. Whatever food I see, I eat. You know. Well, I'm on a low-fat diet. Low and fat. You know. All kinds of diets don't work. The self-discipline, and take self-discipline. This discipline. Can you say them? I was getting my words mixed up here. It says, then let your soul delight in fatness. God is looking for fat Christians. FAT acronym is what? Faithful, available, and teachable. Amen? The word fat, you are a fat man of God. You're a fat woman of God. Not because you put on the weight. I'm not talking about that. Amen? I'm talking about what the word acronym for fat is. Fat is faithful. Amen? Available. Trustworthy or teachable. We must become like a little child. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. We all come by the way of the cross. We become like little children. Otherwise, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? So anyway, but this is what it says right here. Then he said, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings, your income for that which does not satisfy? It says, hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The profuseness of spiritual joy. Hallelujah. Spiritual joy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everyone say spiritual joy.
Spiritual.
Joy is a spiritual component. I mean, how can you, you know, think about it. Oh, the Bible says Isaiah 12:3. Write the reference on Isaiah 12:3. Isaiah 12:3 says, what does it say? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you now if you just give me a second. Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy. Say with joy. You will draw water from the wells within. I wrote my thesis when I got my doctorate. It was called, my one, I read two theses. My one was called The Spiritual Family. The other thesis was on the wells within. Where's the wells? Within. It says, with joy. What's the bucket? You better drive joy, otherwise you're going to kick the bucket. With joy, hallelujah. Long life, longevity, amen. There's a movie called It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. It's an old movie. You must see it. They're all looking for this treasure. And finally, the guy in the end of the movie, he literally kicks the bucket and dies. He kicked up. There was a bucket right at his foot, you know. Right. So, but God is saying tonight, what is he saying? What is the word I gave before? Oh, with joy. Amen? You will draw what? Water from the wells within. Isaiah 12:3. Very, very powerful. Isaiah 12:3, in fact, is a good reading for those who are lazy. They don't like those long chapters. Man, don't you love those long chapters? But look at Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. Just go there quickly. I never... Because there's joy in the house tonight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, your name may be Joy and maybe here. That's wonderful. It says, and in that day, say in that day. That day is today. Listen, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of talking about revival. We're sick and tired and sick and tired of you sitting and waiting for something special to happen. Something special is happening now. Yes. Healing is now. Deliverance is now. Revival is now. There's no such a thing as waiting for the end of the service. Where did we get that from? Where did we get that format from? That we have to do this, and then we have to do that, and then we have to do that. That is stinking thinking and stinking religion, and religion means going back to bondage. We obey the Holy Ghost. Pastor tonight obeyed the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. He just said, you want to take it from here? Well, let the Lord take it. Can you say amen? I just came up. I don't know what take it from here was, but I'm glad I took it. He took it. Amen. I got it. Maybe we say he took it. He took it. Amen. Okay, so it says, in that day, which is today, you will say. Listen, you got to say it. It says the first thing you got to do for your miracle, you got to speak it. Yeah, amen. You will say, well, I want you, the pastor, say it. Your mountain needs to hear your voice, not your pastor's voice. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. Why? Because God said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. He never said the pastor shall say, the apostle shall say. No, no, no. He said, you are the under-subject. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe those things that they are saying, that you will receive whatsoever thou sayest. Sayeth five times. Think about it. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, most people use that scripture out of context. But God is saying, if you want, your miracle is in your mouth. Joel Osteen's father's name was John Osteen. He was a man of God, powerful man of God. Taught the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. He wasn't a motivational speaker. He was a man of God that taught God's word. He was from a Baptist background, embraced the move of the Spirit of God. And listen, that worked today. Because one sows, his father did all the sowing. Now the waters kept on watering in, and today he's got increase in his church. Joel Steen's church, he's not the founder of that church. His father founded it, and he was back working with the tape department. He didn't even want the pastorate. You keep being faithful. You keep serving and just keep serving without no recognition. Listen, I call it in leadership, you serve without a title. You will die and go to heaven waiting for your title. You serve unofficially. How do you serve? Serve unofficially. You see, most people, getting to work now, amen, going to jump in the trenches, takes his coat off, it means nothing, by the way. When a preacher looks at his watch, it means absolutely nothing. some preach by the clock, and some preach by the calendar. Oh, yeah. So you see, this is the attitude. The attitude that we come to church is like this. See? Just, feed me. Pastor, I'm here. Let's see what you got. Amen. Well, guess what your pastor got today. Hallelujah. So what we do, pull the chair up there for me, sister. Pull that other one up, and I'll take this one out. Yeah, all right, do it quickly. There we go. See? And so, there, brother, come up here. Muscle man. I need some muscle. Put it on the platform. Amen. So think about this for a minute. Okay, yeah, we come to church, right? And we sit like this, like the Lord Mayor of London, we call it. Sit on your behind. Get your behind conformed. Your behind conformed to the seat. It's time for you to get out of your seat and into the street. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church. Time for you to get out of your seat and get into the street. Amen. That's not my words, God's word. Go into the highways, go into the byways, beckon them to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell them what God is doing in the house. Don't come like this. You know what this is called? What does a baby wear? That's what we are. We got baby Christians, mere pedestrians, the Bible calls them, carnal Christians. Always born to be fed. You are so fed that you are fed up. Forever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. I'm here. Let's see what tricks you can pull out of the hat. Let's see what you can do. No, it's not what we can do. It's what our God can do. So if you come like this, you are a child. You are immature. You don't come to church like this. You don't come to receive. You come to give. You have come to church to serve. You come to church to serve. Not to eat, to serve. If you serve, you will get fed. See, we got this thing all mixed up. God got you where he got you right now to serve. God's raising up servant leaders. Can you say amen? Amen. We will never go get beyond serving. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be servant of all. I never said that, Jesus. Amen? We do. I've got... On leadership, the principle is you start at the lowest, at the rung of the ladder. You start right in the bottom of the ladder, and you work yourself up, not because you want to be promoted or you want to be seen. You just serve unconditionally, unofficially. Hallelujah. When South Africa, I remember I just got married, and then I went to work. You get two ways that they release you. One is called reduction in staff, which means the staff is, they want to reduce their staff. The other one is you get fired because you did something. So when they used to give you like a little card back then, that was back years in the day. And the number one means you got fired. So anyway, go for employment. And then see this one, number one, bad. Say bad. Bad boy. I'm bad to the bone. I'm B-A-A-D. Bad. It's called born again and delivered. I'm bad too, folks. But I'm born again. Say born again.
Born again.
And delivered. Born again, B-A. And the next day is what? I just told you.
Born again and
so B is for? A. D. You bad. Pastor is bad. Amen. Hallelujah. You're born again and delivered. Praise God. Anyway, so you're coming down. I don't even know. I placed the handkerchief. Amen. So I put it up here. So what does this speak of when you go to a restaurant? That's what those who wait upon the Lord, it has to do with the waiting. Waiting is not you inactive. Waiting upon God is not an inactive word as much as there are times where you have to be listening. And I understand all that. I'm going to have to teach on that, which is called receptive theology. We haven't got time to teach about that tonight. But what God is saying is that waiting, what you're waiting on tables, right? You've been to a restaurant? Of course you have. Otherwise, I'll say, come out, you lying spirit. Okay? You've been to a restaurant, right? What do you do? They wait on you. That's how we wait on God. Amen? We serve. What is the waiter do? They got all kinds of glorified terms today. They don't call them waiters anymore. What do they call them? Servers. I mean, we got some glorified terms, you know. We got terms, and you know, we changed everything. Everything is morphed. Listen. We come to church to serve the Lord. We're worshiping God. We're praising Him. We're not waiting for some special moment in the service. Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm here. I call it bug the leadership. Pull on his coattail and say, Pastor, the Bible says in the last days people will come. Let me see. Not many of you wearing a coat tonight. That's all right. You're still going to go to heaven. Can you say amen? I just got mine off. Pastor, come over. Yeah, Pastor. Okay, so Bible says, listen, this is what the Bible says. I did this in Hawaii, and a lady got angry because she had the spirit, which had the wrong spirit in her. I said, I used the illustration. I said, you know, the Bible says that they will come and they'll pull on your coattail. And they say, take me to the house of God. I want to go to the house of God. Pulling on your coattail. You're not going to go to heaven holding your father's coattail, your mother's coattail, whatever, you know. But the bottom line is that the Bible talks about it in the scriptures. It says people were going to pull on. And I mean, think about it. You're in the restaurant. And what on earth are you doing? Wham! Get your hands off me. You see, we got so much of anger in us. But the Bible says they're going to pull on your coattail and they're going to say, I want to go with you to the house of God. Because the word, it's in the Bible. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when you come to the house of the Lord, there is a river whose streams make glad the city. Some are glad, some are mad, and some are sad. Make up your mind. Some get glad when the Holy Spirit moves. Some get mad because they're full of the devil. Some of them basically get sad I'm sad. What are you sad about? Like a sad sack. We used to have a cartoon back in South Africa called the Sad Sack. I don't know if you saw that year, but they've got a sad sack. All right, anyway. We'll suck you out. Hallelujah. Amen. Means better. In other words, we fire you. All right. How do we get onto that? Oh, like this. Yes. Let me get back to your face. So we come to church like this. We got to just move it down. Say, move it down. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to take it down a couple notches. Can you say amen? Move this thing. Amen. Don't you love babies? What do babies wear? A bib. I saw one bib. It says, these cheeks are loaded on a baby's wearing it. Amen. I think a baby's wearing a bib saying, these cheeks. You know, baby, have you seen baby's cheeks? Amen. Unfortunately, we grown-ups, too, we get beefy as well in that area. But anyway, the first place I put on weight is right here. Amen. And then I put weight around here. Amen. I normally say, man, that tire should be in the trunk. Now it's around your waist. You know, that's another story. Amen. So, looking for a spare tire. I'm looking for fire. Can you say amen? So, look at this. So, anyway, you take this out here. And you bring it down here, and that's called, I'm here to say, Pastor, what can I do? Is there something that I could do? I know of people that had no money. They came and gave their time. Money's time. Time is money. They gave their time to the church. And God opened up supernatural doors. They got out of debt all because they gave their time. Time is money. Money is time. Let's all say together. Time is money. I can give my money. Nobody's without the power to give. Nobody. None of us here are without the power to give. I was sitting in a service in a conference in South Africa. It's our conference. Thousands of people were there, and I was giving, you know, and just giving and giving and giving, and we given dollars. 20, our currency is 20. If I give $1, it's 20. If I give 100, it's times 20. That's 2,000. If it's, you know, 20 rands, they call it, to the dollar. And I remember my pastor wanted, he said, you know, people, when you sow X amount of money, I sowed, hallelujah. So I was wearing a watch, and it was a great watch. And I was sitting out there, and I gave and gave and gave, and all I had was coins, all my coins. And I felt embarrassed about the coins. Eh? So in South Africa, we got monkey bags. The offering bags, it's called a monkey bag. Monkey bag means you can put your hand in like a monkey, but you can't take your hand out because people steal. You got caught sticking out in a cookie jar. So anyway, that's another story. So what happens is that this, and I said, okay, Lord, I don't have anything to give. I got all these coins. I'm embarrassed. You know, after all, you know, I'm from America. You know, when they see Americans, they see money. Everybody see America, and they know, man, you got money. And they don't realize the price you pay. They're going to just come and live on this side for a little while. Amen. It's just as hard here than there. You may have liberty and freedom, you know, but let me tell you something. It is not easy even in this nation. I'm here for 30 years, and I can testify to that. What am I talking about? Yes. So what happened? The monkey bag, the offering bag is going. So, okay, it's got a thin opening on the bag, a thin opening like that, thin. And it's got a piece of wood with iron bars and then the velvet cloth. Looks nice. But you can't stick your hand inside. So I said to the Lord, Lord, okay, now, I gave everything, only got coins, and so, and I said, Lord, okay, if this watch can go through that monkey, if that can go through that hole, it's a tin hole. And I said, hey, my other mind's saying, it ain't not going to go through. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, it's not going to go through. So I took the watch out, and I took the watch, and I can still remember, I put it like that, and it went through the monkey hole. And right next to me was a dear pastor. He was sitting right next to me on the right-hand side. I don't know, he was observing me because I mentored him and trained him when he came into the ministry. And as I did that, he took the watch out of his hand. And he put it in my hand. I still got the watch. It's a very expensive watch. God bless me. Did I covered his watch? No. I didn't even know what he's wearing. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. You know, priests get together, look at what suits you're wearing, what shoe you're wearing. You know, who's who in the charismatic zoo. You know? So, what did I say? Nobody has the what? What did I say, Pastor? We are not without the power to give.
Yeah.
Amen? All right, so. Well, how did we even get onto this subject tonight? Amen. This is another. Pastor said, "You want to take it from here?" Amen. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you take it from here. All right. Where are we now? Okay. This one says, He gets rid of his baggage. Well, I don't know how I got to that scripture. I never talk about baggage. Oh yeah, Isaiah 12. Okay. In that day, that's Isaiah 11. Okay. Anyway, if you got baggage, you can leave it right in baggage claim right here at the altar tonight. Can you say amen? Drop the bag. Amen. Drop the bag. Go to baggage claim and drop it. I'll drop it at the altar. In that day, you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord.
Yeah.
What do you say? Thank you in advance.
That's right.
Live your life with gratitude.
That's right.
Amen. God is looking for those who have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. 10 lepers come to Jesus, one get healed, only one person comes back and he thanks the Lord. And Jesus said, weren't they 10 of you got healed? How come what happened to the other 9? He said, go show yourself to the priest. He was the high priest, but they had to go and there was the law. It was the law for you to go get cleansed before you tune back into society. Because if you're a leper, you're unclean. 10 of them come to Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus stopped right on his track and he said, go show yourself to the priest. 10 of them go, only one come back to give thanks. The man, he was a Samaritan. In other words, he wasn't even part of the covenant. But he came back to give thanks. And Jesus told him this. He said, look, go thy way. Seven said, go thy way. Thy faith, say thy faith, has made thee whole. W-H-O-L-E. Everybody else got healed. That man was made whole. That means half of his years was eaten up. They all still got half a year, half a nose, half a toe, half a leg. Got healed. But they never recreated a miracle where that thing grows out again. But this man, because he came to give thanks. Think about it. If he had a half a hand eaten up by leprosy, Jesus said, you are made old. His hand he had a recreated miracle. Half of his ears just grew right back on. Hallelujah. Think about the power there is in us living a life of thanksgiving. Thanking the Lord. Can you say, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his mercies endure it forever. Thank God for your pastors. Thank God for this local church. Thank God for the building. Thank God for the visionary. Thank God for, amen. Just thank God for everything. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Oh, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Say comfort. God wants to comfort you. The comfort is the Holy Spirit, the strength and the standby, the aid, the support, the one who comes alongside of us. Hallelujah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Trust him. Trust, say trust.
Amen.
The world trapeze artist. He goes to this man. He says, listen, this man has walked the tightrope, and this man has done, you know, he is a world trapeze artist. And he says to the man, he says to his friend, do you believe I can walk, I can put it on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls? Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. He said, you can. He said, because you are a world-renowned trapeze artist. You can do it. He said, you believe I can on a tightrope push a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls? I've been to the Niagara Falls. He said, yeah, you can do it. You sure that I can push the wheelbarrow? He said, yes. And his friend, the guy, the trapeze artist, said, jump in the wheelbarrow. We say we trust God, jump in the wheelbarrow. See? You're going to have a lot of wheelbarrows, especially when it comes to the land. Can you say amen? Step it in faith. Hallelujah. Amen? Faith has to do with throwing yourself down at the feet of Jesus every day. That's what it means. It means a Holy Ghost throwdown. You get on your face before the Lord, on your face right there on at the feet of Jesus. And say, Lord, actually, the word comes from a very, very deep word. It means, let me see. Somebody that's young, and you know, you can, let me see, who can I choose? Okay, listen, here's a choice. So come on, I saw what you did. You should have been the volunteer. He's like, okay, lie down here, amen. Okay, now think about this. Jesus, right here. Okay, where's Jesus? Getting a little closer to Jesus, amen. And basically what it means that when you get down, that God comes and puts his feet on you. Like this. See? He comes, it means to trample. If you really got faith, I would rather let God be a donkey for the Lord. I'd rather let him trample me. Praise God, than let the devil trample me. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe in God. Amen. I believe in the God of miracles. A Holy Ghost throwdown means you throw yourself before God, and then God walks all over you. See, I don't want to walk over him. I mean, you know, I'm going to pray for his back, and before you know it, amen, he's going to see a quack, and the quack is a doctor. All right. Okay, thank you. He's got one in the back. Well, praise God. Amen. I like that. Turn around. Let's see. He's got one. What's the one says? One. Amen. For the audience of one named Jesus. Amen. Okay, how do we get there? Okay, yes. So, what do we say, Pastor? Where are we at now? Quickly. Feet of Jesus. All right. So, therefore, it says right here, the Lord is my strength. Say, God is my strength. God is my song. Yes, he has become my salvation. Therefore is there for a reason. It basically means, what is it there for? Well, it's there for a reason. And it says, with joy, hallelujah, will you draw water from the wells of salvation? And in that day, say in that day, and that day is today, praise God. Healing is for today. Miracles are for today. Amen. Salvation is for today. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Here it is again. Call upon his name. Number, he's giving you all the prerequisites. He's giving you a message all on its own. Number one, give thanks to the Lord. Number two, call upon his name. Amen. And then it says, call upon his name, and by the means of his name in solemn entreaty, declare, pray, say declare. Declare and make known his deeds amongst the peoples in the earth. Proclaim, say proclaim. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises, say sing praises to the Lord. For he has done excellent things gloriously. Let this be made and known in all the earth. Cry aloud and shout joyfully. You women and inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Praise God for the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? So where is the well? I'll give you a principle tonight, because you came faithfully. Go to Proverbs 30, and I'll show you something from Proverbs. People ask a question. They say to this, well, let me ask you a question. Why do you have to lay hands on my belly? Why does a preacher has to push the microphone into my stomach? Proverbs 30. Okay. Proverbs 30. If I can find it. Sometimes it's right under your, what you're looking for is right under your nose. Amen. Proverbs 30. Ready? Say ready.
Ready.
See, I like to walk around, but that's why I like the lapel mic, Pastor. But that, so it says right here, look at this, what it says. It says in verse number 4, I'll go right down to the word. Who hath ascended? Who hath ascended into heaven? Reply. Reply. My goodness, I got to teach the Bible here. Who hath ascended into heaven? What is his name? Why are you so soft? You're unsure of the answer? Shout it out.
Jesus.
Okay. Who hath ascended up into the heaven?
Jesus.
Who hath descended into the lower parts of Hades? Went and got the keys of life and death? Jesus. He went into the nether regions. Think about it. And he took the keys. The Bible says he's got the keys. Who had the keys before he had? The devil. Who's got the keys now? Before he ascended, he descended and he gave gifts unto men, the Bible says. He gave the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is the flesh and blood representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. God says that I put the fivefold ministry, these ascension gift ministries in your midst so that Christ may dwell in your midst. A title. Most people want title, but they don't know nothing about the fivefold ministry. It's Christ in your midst. Can you be Christ in the midst of the church? The Bible says that in the book of Psalms. If I got to go through every scripture, we'll be here till tomorrow morning. Who hath, it says he ascended up into the heaven, or descended, who had gathered the wind in his fist? What's his name?
Jesus.
He rebuked the wind and he said, peace be still. Amen?
Amen.
Then he says right here, who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name?
Jesus.
What is his son's name? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Well, what is his name? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ actually means Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, I haven't got time to teach on that. Anyway, your pastor's probably got all that covered. Thank you, Pastor. All right, so then we go on next one now. It says, look at this. If thou canst tell, right? But look at verse number 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven?
Jesus.
Descended?
Jesus.
Who hath gathered the wind in his fist?
Jesus.
What did we leave out? What did we leave out? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Now let me tell you what that means. When the Bible says, who hath bound the waters in the garment, the water is in the garment, and I am the garment. And where is the water bound?
In the garment.
But where is it bound? It's bound right here. Not in the brain, in the belly. Don't receive with the brain. Your brain cannot receive anything from God. You receive it with your belly. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers. But listen to this. God says, Zephaniah. Amen. So, stand right up here. Okay, so think about this. Where's the water? It's bound in the belly. Now check this out. The word bound means it's under pressure. See, you don't know why we do what we do. We don't have time to explain everything to you. We obey the Holy Ghost. If you're a word man, you'll know what the word says. Can you say amen? You will not question the methodology. The methodology offends. People don't like the method. But God will offend your brains to get into your heart. He's the kind of God that I know personally for myself what God can do. We don't want to. But God said, if you don't want to, you'll die prematurely. Because you're not drinking. All you do is you eat and eat and eat and become a fatso. Too many spiritual fatsoes in the body of Christ. But God says right here, he bound the waters in us. The water is in us. And the word bound means it's under pressure, waiting. Lift your hands up. It's in the garment. It's in the garment. It's in the garment. That means somebody get behind him. That's what that means. Okay? Where is the pressure? It's in the garment. What's the word bound means? It's under pressure, waiting to be released in the name of Jesus. Lift him up again. That water is waiting to be released, and it takes a prophet of God, amen, to come in, to lay his hands, and I've come here tonight to release the pressure that the church is under, financial pressure, sickness, disease, people are losing their minds, the pressure is on, the furnace is getting seven times hotter, we're under pressure, and the pressure cooker has a valve. I'm here to open up the valves. Can you say amen? That's what God is doing here. God is opening us up. Hallelujah. So where's the water? It's in the garment. And the water is waiting. It's waiting for a man of God. It's waiting for a man of God to come and to release him from captivity. He's waiting. God sends a prophet into our midst, and we question everything that moves. God says it's time for us to accept. If we all we need is, you know what we lack is discernment. We lack discernment. I know if a person's got an off spirit. I know if a leader's got an off spirit. The off spirit. Peter talks about it. People that got an off spirit. What is an off spirit? They're off. They elevated on go to the top. A lot of off spirit leaders we got. But that water is waiting. Because God says, well, listen, the word of God, my coat. The Bible says, Elijah was taken up. What came down? His mantle came down. What did Elisha do? He took that mantle and he struck the waters. He struck the waters. You never play around and pussyfoot around and God bless you. God bless you tonight. Oh, lift your hands and the Lord will bless you. I'd say, come out in Jesus' name. You got to know when to strike. I said you got to know when to strike. If you're a true man of God, you'll know when to strike. You'll know when to speak. God told Moses, speak to that rock. He spoke the second time he struck the rock, not once, but twice. Because Christ can only be struck once. It typified the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was kept out of the promised land. So what is God is calling for? He's calling for us to be open to receive because the water is there and God wants a release. Under, how many of you are facing some kind of a pressure? You know, as I stand before you, I've got pressure. You may have high blood pressure. You may have low blood pressure. I'm low blood pressure. Amen. Some people have high blood pressure. Some people have no pressure. And they're pushing daisies. They're 6 feet below. They got a new ministry called underground evangelism. Pretty soon lots of people will be having a new ministry called pushing up daisies. And they'll be doing underground evangelism because they did not do upper ground evangelism. They buried 6 feet below, and that's where they do the evangelism. I'm going to be evangelist. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to win souls for Jesus. I'm going to share the gospel, hallelujah, to whosoever. Can you say amen? I have captive audience on the plane. I've got people that sit next to me. I talk to people. My wife will tell you, we lead people in the hotels that we stay in. We pray for them. We lead them by the droves. Amen. We go for a walk, and we meet somebody fishing, and we talk to the person, and he lost his grandmother. Led him to the Lord. People are hurting. How many of you tonight have got something that's pressurizing you? Financial pressure? family, all of you are. No one's got any pressure at all. Economic pressure, financial pressure, blood pressure. Look at him. Come up here, brother. Yeah, come here. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was doing a meeting in Michigan. And there are three cameras shooting, one from the right, one from the middle, one from the left. And all the man was doing was behind that camera, just watching every night as people getting touched. One night I called him up. He said he couldn't believe it. I got his testimony, my father. He said he thought everything was rigged. He said he thought I got some kind of a electric wire stuck out of my hand. He said I thought you, as you laid hands on the people, there was some kind of a electricity that was pushed. I mean, how crazy can you be and still breathe sitting up there and watching? I got nothing in my hands. Can you say amen? Power of God. And God touched that man, made a believer out of him. He was going home and he was going through, he was getting all my videos ready. And his father walked into that room and his father said, "What is that?" So, "Dad, I've got a preacher from South Africa. He's doing a revival." He said, "Those, all those things I'm seeing there happen under Catherine Kuhlman's meeting." His father told him. He's still alive, lives in Michigan. What God wants to do tonight, he wants to release you of the pressure. Any kind of pressure, he wants to release you from. He doesn't want you to come, amen. He wants you to come as a servant and serve and receive. Hallelujah. And say, "Father, I'm here. I want to receive everything that you have for me." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, as you lift up your hands, my brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Where's my brother? Yeah, you can come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands all over this place. Thank you, Lord. And I want those of you tonight that are under pressure to come to this altar right now, and God's going to lift the pressure. The pressure is going to be lifted. You just come right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just come. Just come and come to the altar. But don't wait. Amen. Just come. Thank you, Jesus. Come quickly. Come quickly. Quickly means faster than normal. Amen. What does quickly come means?
Faster than normal.
Quickly, catch. Means faster than normal. Amen? Hallelujah. Lift your hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you said in your word, the water is bound. Who hath bound? What is the bondage? Who hath bound? The waters in the garment. That's why when a baby is born, they call it what? What bag breaks?
Water bag.
Water bag. God bound the waters in the garment. He created us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to release you tonight, my sister. God wants to release you from that guilt. He wants to release you tonight from that shame. He wants to release you tonight from that pressure that you are carrying. There's an outlet right here. It's called King's Chapel, West Virginia, where God is releasing people from that which they bound. That's what they are being tormented with. Some of you cannot sleep at night. God tonight says to tell you, you're going to sleep like a baby. You are going to sleep like a baby. You got to be ready to receive everything that the Lord wants to set you free from. In the name of Jesus. I never really planned this. Pastor said, "You got your ticket from here." Hallelujah. Oh, what I was going to share, everything just changed. Look up. Look at me. I was doing a 4-week service. The service is 3 to 5 hours. I do not know exactly at what week. Let me have. I don't know exactly which week it was.
The hot tea, sorry. Just to get my throat suit.
I don't know at which point in time Pastor Brad and Minister Marin, I don't know at which point I lost my voice completely. I had no voice. I'm talking about a large congregation. Each and other meetings began to grow and grow and grow and grow. We had to move out of a church that was seating about 300 into this downtown Slidell City Hall. Now you know we're in revival. And then God stirs up some demons from in that city hall. God was exposing some things. I didn't even know what he was doing. But I can recall the one night I got up. I couldn't even speak in a whisper. Got all these cameras. Now I want to give you a little secret, and I want to see what God did. As I got up here to the podium, I felt from deep within here. You'll never hear this from anybody else, but I'm telling you what happened to me. Right from here. I felt all I can describe is it was almost like it just like this. Almost like a kind of I got no words. I still cannot find a word after all these years about what really happened. But it rose up from here. As I opened my mouth, my voice was crystal clear. Instantly, God did it. Not from the outside. What is the bound in the garment? The Spirit of God rose up from inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells me. It quickens my body, was literally quickened by the Spirit of God. I've never had that experience. Nobody ever should. I've cracked open a lot of books on signs, wonders, and miracles. But that miracle, I know what happened. I knew that I had no voice. God did it. I went to South Africa. I was going to speak. The same thing happened. I had to get on steroids. They said, you cannot speak for 5 days. Pastor, I said, look, I got to go this Monday night. I did the two services Sunday morning. I kind of what happened on Sunday night, but Monday I'm sick as a dog and lost my voice. And doctors come right to the house because we got a lot of doctors in the church. Comes right to the place where I'm staying. And he said, look, you cannot go. You cannot speak for the next 5 days. So I called the pastor. His name is Bishop Nicholas Manzamilla. I'm Lasdy Christian Center, several thousand people. I call him up. I call him Bishop. I said, look, if I'm not there by 6:30, you know that I'm not going to make it. And I'm whispering to him, hey, Bishop, you know, you've got no voice. I said, give me at least about 6:30. He calls me back. And while I was talking to him, he said, I lost my dog. I said, he lost your dog? But the accent, I thought it was dog, but he lost his bag. They have a men's purse in South Africa. I have one too, one black and one in brown. It's a leather case, you carry it, and you put all your belongings in there. He had everything that belongs to him. Back then they used to have a lot of checkbooks and a lot of money and all that. He had everything in there, keys and everything. He put it in there, and he put that bag on his Land Rover and drove off in Durban in South Africa. Especially in if you drop your bag, it's gone. You'll never just see the bag again. Theft, you see. People are. I mean, just the thieving and the breaking and the crime is another level. I prayed with my voice. I prayed a prayer. I didn't know what I prayed. He called me within not even 5 minutes. I don't think so. I said, I got a phone call. I said, what happened? A lady was driving down the interstate with her daughter. And the lady wants to stop. And the daughter says, Mom, you cannot stop here. Mom, you cannot pull off here. She said, no. Something is telling me to pull off right here. And as she pulled off, there was a piece of paper right there. And the contents of the bag was lying on that piece of paper. The only thing, the way that she got his phone number was because on the checkbook, they have their phone number. So when she called, he said, I'm going to go get it right now. The bag has been found. The only thing was missing is all the cash. You're telling me that we don't serve a God of the supernatural, of the miraculous? We're talking about in a city. Durban is not a small city. There's millions of people. It's a big city. But God, hallelujah, supernaturally restored everything but the cash. He told me when the mother, he said, I wrote them a check for $2,000 because they kept because of what the Lord did. Miracles. And I believe God wants to release that same miracle anointing upon your life tonight. As you lift up your hands right now, I'm going to pray for you. Father, come now. Come, Lord, and lay your hands. My hands are an extension of your hands. When I stretch out my hand, you stretch out your hand. When I lay my hands, it's your hand made bare to bless, to anoint, to prosper, and to release each one tonight from the waters that are bound in this garment. Under pressure, waiting to be released. Breakthrough, Father. The God of Bel Parazam. The God of the breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough is going to visit you and visit your family and visit your children and visit your business. Get ready, get ready. God says God is about to break into your life, into your ministry, pastor, into King's Chapel, West Virginia. Amen. The land. God says he's about to break it wide open in the name of Jesus.